On this season of the StoryCorps podcast from NPR, we're bringing you 12 episodes on reunions. That's a word Shotzi Harrison knows all too well.
The timelines of my dad going and coming from my life seem choppy because they are choppy. It was just sporadic phone calls, a postcard every once in a while.
In this week's episode, a complicated reunion between a father and daughter, and a daughter's love that exists alongside, and sometimes in spite of, her dad's mental illness.
They found out that I was paranoid schizophrenic, and then they diagnosed me with psychosis. Some people don't understand me and just avoid me. So I'm just glad we have each other.
I'm Jasmine Morris. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Hinge, the dating app that's great at setting you up on great dates. Hinge learns your type based on the people you like and lets you know who likes you so you can easily start a conversation. Download Hinge in the Apple Store or Google Play.
People often come to StoryCorps to interview a loved one. They bring a family member or friend into one of our recording booths and ask each other questions. Sometimes it's the questions themselves that bring people closer together. But often, it's the simple act of sitting down face-to-face that deepens their connection. That's what happened when Shotzi Harrison recorded with her dad, James Flavicoy Brown, in North Carolina back in 2013. Throughout this episode, you're going to hear parts of that conversation and a follow-up interview with Shotzi.
I'm Shotzi Harrison. I'm 25, and I'm interviewing my father.
I'm James Flavicoy Brown, and I'm here with my daughter.
My father has a southern drawl. I think of, like, Yosemite Sam, almost like he's trying to be funny, but that's just his real voice. Daddy, you were with me from my birth until I was 3 years old.
Yeah. When I got off work, I'd pick you up from the daycare center and brought you on those great big huge lollipops, and you'd ride in the front seat with me.
But as Shotzi told us, when she was a toddler, her dad's mental health worsened. Her mom grew more concerned, moved out of state with Shotzi, and eventually filed for divorce.
But when I was 16, my father came to town and we had a nice visit for a day, driving together and listening to music and singing along. There were no rules. Drinking's okay. Cussing's okay. You know, he never cared what other people thought, and he sort of allowed me to loosen up a little bit. And then he just disappeared, and I didn't realize I wasn't going to see him again for years. And then I somehow sniffed him out in 2011, and he was living, like, behind of a hotel. How did you end up living in the woods?
I was evicted.
So you just took your disability money and bought camping supplies?
Yeah, and I went and bought a tent and a propane heater and a cook stove.
What do you remember from the last time we saw each other?
We spent the whole day together, and y'all bought me a few things to help me out, and you were pregnant with your second child.
It was heartbreaking to see you. You were emaciated, and I was scared to death for you. I had a little toddler, and I was going to give birth any day, and there's my dad living in a tent in the winter, and there's nothing I can do.
They talked about future visits, but the next time Shotzi went back to the campsite, James was gone. Shotzi would later learn that her dad headed west and wound up at the Ross and Neal Psychiatric Hospital in Las Vegas, but he wasn't there for long either. After a couple days, James was discharged, along with several other patients, and taken to the nearest Greyhound bus station.
From what I understand, Ross and Neal was just sort of at its capacity for patients, so they put him on a bus to Sacramento with hospital paperwork that said, call 911 when you arrive in California as the discharge instruction.
Here's James, remembering what that was like.
I got 3 days worth of my medicine, 6 bottles of Ensure, and 4 packs of cheese crackers. When I got to Sacramento, I had to figure out what to do, and all these voices in my head were telling me different things, so I had to figure out which voice to listen to.
Next, how James found shelter, and how Shotzi found James. That's coming up after this short break.
This is StoryCorps founder Dave Isay. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Subaru, celebrating their 11th annual Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. For every new Subaru purchased or leased during the event, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of charities like the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. To learn more, go to Subaru.com/share. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
When James got off the bus in Sacramento, he had nowhere to go and eventually found himself at a boarding home. That's where he met a reporter who'd been canvassing homeless shelters looking for anyone who had a connection to Ross and Neil. It turns out the hospital had put more than 1,000 patients on buses headed for other states. That's when Shotzi got the call she'd been hoping for.
I was just so happy that you weren't dead.
Yeah.
I ran out the door and ran around in circles in my yard. And as soon as I could make arrangements to get to you, I did. And we just hugged and we laughed and cried. I showed you the pictures of my house. You know, here's the basement I fixed up for you. And you said, I'm gonna be living like a king.
He rescued me.
After we initially brought him home, there was like a honeymoon phase where we were laughing and listening to music and everything was new and nice. But after a few weeks, I saw the more ugly side of his mental illness.
Do you ever worry about me living here with you and your family, Shotzi?
I do. I have 2 young girls. And I don't always feel like you're the best influence on them. You have bad manners, and you curse, and you smoke cigarettes, and it's just that you're a little rough around the edges and uncouth and not used to anybody, especially not your daughter, telling you what you can and can't do.
You know, it's hard to break old habits, but I'm working on it.
You're part of the family, and I can't cook, but you sure can.
Yeah.
Me and you and the girls dance around like crazy fools in the kitchen. You have tea parties with my daughters. So many favorite moments between us.
Yeah.
Which one pops into your head first?
That night I was feeling real bad, and you held my hand to comfort me. And you said, Daddy, you can stay with me as long as you want to. And I finally went to sleep.
I didn't know that meant so much to you.
Yeah. Shotzi, what are your hopes for me?
I hope that your mental illness either stays stable or improves. We have so many years to make up for, you know, and I always appreciate you because I thought I had lost you, and I don't see any reason not to be hopeful.
It's been 5 years since Shotzi and her father sat down for StoryCorps, and a lot has changed since then. Shotzi went through a difficult divorce, and while she left town, her father decided to stay. So he has once again disappeared from her life.
And I absolutely want to reunite with him again. I don't know if I'm going to find him homeless or living in a tent again. And it's in the back of my mind that he's going to be on his deathbed or already dead, and I'm gonna find that public record. And that's a crushing thought. But he's popped up twice in the past, so I just have to have faith he's gonna pop up again.
Today, Shotzi still looks for clues that might lead her back to her dad. She's called local hospitals in the area she knew he last lived and always answers the phone when it's an unknown number, just in case it's someone with information about her dad. Her most recent lead is from a class action lawsuit against Ross and Neal Hospital, ruling in favor of all the patients who'd been bussed out of state, including James. She hasn't reached out to the lawyers yet, but it's given her hope for another reunion. Until then, Shotzi holds on to the little things.
Sometimes I'll go driving, I'll put on a country song and let the wind go through my hair, and that will bring me right back to him. One of the things that keeps me going and trying is I have a little of his stubborn will, and I'm his only child, and blood is thicker than all of the problems between us, and there's something powerful between a father and a daughter that mental illness and time hopefully can't break. You have to let love win sometimes and choose love instead of fear. I can't be his caregiver, but I'm certainly gonna be his daughter forever.
That's all for this week's episode. It was produced by Judd Esty Kendall and me. Our engineer is Michael Raphael. Script editors are Danielle Roth and Sylvie Lubau. Our fact checker is Natsumi Ajisaka. Special thanks to Michael Garofalo, Caitlin Roberts, Anita Rao, and Yasmina Guerda. As always, you can leave a voicemail for anyone you've heard on this podcast. Give us a call at 301-744-TALK. And tell us what you think. Write us a review wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what music we used in this episode and to sign up for your own interview, visit our website, storycorps.org. For the StoryCorps podcast, I'm Jasmine Morris. Thanks for listening.
I'm Linda Holmes. There's more stuff to watch these days than you can ever get to. That's why we make Pop Culture Happy Hour. Twice a week, we give you the lowdown on what's worth your time and what's not. Find Pop Culture Happy Hour on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.